We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good day to you, Brevard County. It's Taco Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. Hey, I tell you, I love Mexican food. And so Taco Tuesday, you know, for me, it's Taco Monday, Taco Tuesday, Taco Wednesday. I could eat Mexican food all day, every day. Of course, none of my clothes would fit. But anyway, we're glad that you are tuning in today. I pray that you are having a great week. Yesterday, we talked about being people who are faithful to what we're called to do, faithful to use God's resources, faithful in our marriage, faithful to our job, that when people look at us, they know where we're going to be because we are faithful to walk the steps that God has ordered for us. And so I pray that that is a reality in your life and in my life. And I know this, we all want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest." If you really break that down, you see that faithfulness and fruitfulness are connected, but there's a rest, there is a joy that comes to the faithful that the unfaithful do not get to experience. And God really wants our misery index to be very, very low, and he wants our joy index to be very, very high. I want to take you to Psalm 22 today. Psalm 22. And we're going to be looking at the first few verses in that passage. I just have to correct something here. I had a page in my Bible that folded over in a bad way. So when you hear the first part of this psalm, this is a psalm of David, you're going to recognize these words more than likely because they were uttered by Jesus on the cross. So let's begin reading Psalm 22, verse number 1. It says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help." Drop down to verse number 19, and it says, "But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me." Let's begin right here at verse number 1. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, I want to tell you that there may be times where we feel forsaken, that we feel abandoned, like we've been put up on the shelf. I remember very early in my ministry and was telling God, God, I feel like you have put me on the shelf. There had been a couple of traumatic things that had gone on in early attempts in ministry. And then Cindy and I got married, and it felt like that for the first couple of years that we had been shelved. We were faithful to attend church. We were still trying to be faithful to our calling. We were faithful to pursue a place of ministry. We sent out like 200 resumes. I sent resumes to Alaska. I sent resumes to North Dakota. I sent resumes to places I had no desire to live because I just wanted to be faithful. In one of those situations about a year and a half after we got married, we accepted a position and came back and found out that we were expecting, and called the pastor and let them know, hey, you know, we're going to be a family of three. And they said, well, we don't want you to come then. And, you know, that was after almost 2 years of having been on the shelf. And at times we felt forgotten. And so if you feel that way today, I want you to know that I have felt that way. We had lived our life for the first couple of years that we were married in such a way that we all of, there were stuff that we had received at our wedding. We had never unpacked it. We lived our life as if we were ready to get uprooted and move at a minute's notice. And we had been married for a year and 11 months, and I'd had it with the living like we were going to be moving at a minute's notice. And so I told Cindy, I said, that's it, we're unpacking everything. We're going to find a place. We rented an apartment that had enough space that we could have all of our belongings. At this point in time, we knew that a baby was going to be coming very, very shortly. And so I said, we're going to get everything set. We're going to find a place for everything. We're going to get this house ready for this baby. And I don't know when or if we're ever going to get back into ministry again. And we were still serving. We were involved in nursing home ministry. We had helped with a youth service or two. And we just felt like, okay, it's time to get out of this transition stage and into this stage of permanence. So we, on a Tuesday, we unpacked everything and got up the next morning. And while I was getting ready to go to work, a pastor called. I was in the shower. My wife had to come get me out of the shower and say, there's somebody on the phone for you. And it was a pastor saying, hey, we're going to be in your town tomorrow. It was one of the churches that we had sent a resume to. And they said, we're going to be in your town tomorrow. Can we take you to dinner? And so we met with them. They ended up inviting us down to minister at the church. We went down and ministered. So I guess it was more like a year and 9 months, because I remember it was daylight savings time weekend when we went down there. And the church, they had just switched daylight savings time, and so nobody was really ready for that. And so we were down there, and we had to hurry up. We were staying with the pastor and his wife and their son. We were staying in their house, and somebody said, "Hey, y'all, church starts in a little bit." And so, I mean, you never saw five people trying to get ready so fast in all your life. And so there we were within 2 months. We had gone from not having any prospects to we were on the road. We had a vacation scheduled to go visit my wife's family, and we stopped back on the way back from there, loaded up our car with everything that we could load up, and we headed to this new ministry. And it was like almost 2 years. It was a little over 2 years for me, but it was almost 2 years after we were married. And I realized something, you know, now that the Bible talks about that there's a period of adjustment when you get married. That's about a year. But I will tell you this, that also, if you've ever been through a traumatic situation, sometimes you just don't bounce back from that in a matter of hours. Sometimes God takes you through a season where he is healing those issues. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, for us, I want you to understand, God never, ever forsakes us. He says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Jesus uttered these words on the cross because he went to the cross for us. He paid the price for my sin. He paid the price for your sin. The only person he didn't have any sin to pay for was himself. The cross to him was not an end. It was a doorway. He looked to the cross, and on the other side of the cross, he saw the joy that was set before him. He endured the shame of the cross, the pain of the cross, the guilt of the cross. And while he was carrying all of that sin, and the Father turned his head away, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, even Jesus understands what it feels like to think that you have been forgotten. But can I tell you that Jesus was not forsaken? It was not a permanent situation. It was just part of the process to be able to identify with us and to be able to redeem us and to say, you know what? If there is a description that fits the body of Christ, it is this: we are prisoners of hope. We are prisoners of the confidence that we have that God will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So when the devil tries to tell you that you are all alone, like he did Elijah, understand this: he is a liar. You are not forsaken. Okay, David says, "Why are you so far from helping me?" And just like I told you in my story, it might seem like the answer is never going to come. It may seem that God is so distant and so far away that there's no hope of any breakthrough at any given point in time. But I will tell you that God is a God of the suddenly. Suddenly, the breakthrough happens. Suddenly, you realize that God is not far away, he is very near. Suddenly, you realize that Jesus, asleep in the boat, is just one declaration away from the storm being conquered and the waters being still, the winds dying down. You can move from hopeless to a revelation of God's authority over your circumstances, and it literally takes a matter of seconds. David had an anointing on his life, and yet Saul tried to kill him. His own men threatened to stone him. The Philistines wanted him dead. You can find yourself in all sorts of adversity, but if you've got your heart right with God, it doesn't matter who's against you when you realize that God is for you. Why are you so far? If you feel like that God is far away today, I want to encourage you to do this. Take one step towards God, because he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. When we take one step, God takes a great big giant step. You know, you find that he is suddenly right there. He is not far away. There's a song that says God is watching from a distance. It's not a Christian song. You know, I used to think when I was young that every time they put God in a song, that they were speaking from a Christian worldview. And then I looked at the lyrics and I realized that that wasn't always the case. And that particular song describes how peaceful the world looks and how calm the world looks when you are looking at a distance. And when you've put distance in yourself, you're not there for the challenge of the moment, the desperation. You're not there. Everything just seems all peachy keen. And that particular song is really an accusation against God for being a God who just is not concerned in the least about what people are going through. What a bunch of baloney. I want you to know God is not far away from helping you. In fact, he sent the Holy Spirit, the one who is the Comforter, God the Holy Spirit, who is one called alongside to help. Specifically, what he is there for. He says, boldly come before the throne of grace that you might find help in your time of need. We have round-the-clock access to the throne of grace because God wants to help us, not because he doesn't want to help us. He says, "Why?" And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. I'm doing all of this praying, and there's not any answers that are coming yet. I can tell you that God's timing and my timing have often been two different timing schedules. I don't always understand his timing, but I'm always thankful for it. You see, we want it to come and we want the deliverance to happen real quick. Here's what I found, though, that people who have very little invested in a process, they don't appreciate it. There's a lot of talk going on right now about in society, they want free this and free that and free over here, and we want everything to be completely and totally free. Here's what I found. Wherever there is not a personal investment, there is not an appreciation for it, and that which you disrespect moves away from you. Okay? So there needs to be an appreciation that we develop in our relationship with God that says, God, I realize what life is like without you. Life without you is hard. Life with you is so much better. And so when God shows up and not only gets us out of the problem, but actually conquers our adversary at the same time, when he delivers us, there is much great appreciation. Daniel prayed, and the answer, it was, I think, 21 days before he got the answer. And when the angels showed up, he said, from the very first day that you started praying, I began my journey, and I've been going through intense opposition, and we have now come to give you the answer to the prayers that you have been praying. And in fact, it says, you know, I received help in my spiritual struggles just so that you could have the answer. God is a God who listens. In fact, the Bible talks about that there are golden vials that retain the prayers and the tears of the saints. No prayer you have ever prayed has gone ignored or unheard. And so I want to encourage you today, even if you are going through troubled waters, know that God has not forsaken you. He's not far away. He's not ignoring you. He's there to help. Verse number 3. This is a great verse. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Okay? But you are holy. Never forget that not only is God faithful, but God is holy. He is without blemish. He is without flaw. He has never, ever missed the mark. His word, when it goes forth, strikes its mark. There is not a character flaw, not a mental defect. There is not a strength insufficiency. There has never been a flawed strategic plan. God is holy, set apart for holy purposes. You are holy, and you are enthroned in the praises of Israel. Another translation, the King James says that you inhabit the praises of Israel. He dwells there. And so instead of lamenting how long we're having to talk to God about this situation, let's remind ourselves to whom we are speaking. We're talking to the holy, omnipotent, omniscient God. That means he knows what we have need of before we even ask. He knows everything. He knows what the enemy is plotting. He knows what the enemy is doing. And he comes to intervene. And so we remind ourselves, God, you're holy. Okay? Now, think about that for just a moment. God, you're holy. Now look in the mirror real fast after you say that and say, but am I holy? The only way that we become holy is for him to cleanse us from our sins, to cleanse us from our impurities, to wash us, to transform us from servants of unrighteousness to people of the household of faith. Without holiness, no one will see God. Holiness is not optional. So when we see God as holy, and then we look at ourselves, we're going to say, God, I need you to do some more work in Bob. Listen, I will tell you this. Nobody knows right now more than me how desperately Bob needs God to work in him. The older I get, the more I realize I need him to do. And I'm not saying there's any egregious sin or anything like that. I just realize more of his sufficiency, and I realize my insufficiency, and that means I need a holy God. And so rather than and moaning and groaning and complaining, the thing to do is to start praising a holy God, because he is a holy God and he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of glory and worthy of blessing and worthy of honor. And what he does is he says, you know what? I think I'm going to live in this atmosphere. So he inhabits, he chooses to live where he is praised. Do you realize that when Solomon built the temple, that there were people who praised and worshiped around the clock? That not everybody had access to the temple all the time, but there were people, and their specific, you know, they had shifts, they had timelines, and say, you know what, I'm going to praise him for this length of time, you praise him after that. I wonder what would happen if all of a sudden we moved into that 24-hour cycle, 7 days a week as a body of believers here in the county, where we said, God, we want to praise you, not just for what you've done, but for primarily who you are. It says he inhabits that. Now, that word actually means more than just dwells there. It means what it says here in the New King James Version, that he's enthroned there. He rules and reigns in that situation, in that atmosphere, where you look at the struggle that you're facing, and you lift your eyes up and you fix your eyes on Jesus and said, you know, I think rather than focusing on my enemy, I need to focus on my King. And we start worshiping him, and he enthrones himself right there. I create this mental picture of this glorious throne in heaven, and it just being established right over my enemy. Anything that comes and attacks, I just want the throne, the weightiness of God's presence. I just want that to come. And I tell you, if God is there, if God is in the midst of my struggle with me, I'm not going to feel forsaken very long. There's going to soon arise some feelings of victory, that there's going to be hope, and there's going to be joy, and there's going to be confidence, not from a shallow perspective, but from a revelation. God is here. God's on the job. God's in control. And I've got a feeling that the enemy is in for a big, big fight. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Yesterday we talked about that God is faithful. Today, I want you to know he's holy, and he's building his throne right in the middle of our mess. God bless you. You have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.